drink a bottle. Good.
Swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Goal.
Listening to The Unlucky Irishman on the Row Sports Talk Network, produced by Ashley Maciag and Boomer Dangle. Now, here's your host, James Preacher Rowe.
And hello, everyone. Welcome back to the second episode of The Unlucky Irishman. I'm James Rowe, or Preacher is my nickname. So, anyways, let's go into our first topic, because we've got a lot to talk about here today. First of all is NFL free agency. There's been a lot going on. Ndamukong Suh was released by Miami Dolphins, so he's on the market. And people are, you know, they're going out there and they're trying to look for whether or not he fits their defensive schemes. Tyler Eifert, who is a free agent, re-signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's a good thing because Eifert is injury prone and the Bengals do need a really good tight end. They do have Tyler Kroft as well as a backup. Dontari Poe is now with the Carolina Panthers. That will make that defense even better. The recently released Jordy Nelson from the Packers and the recently released Doug Martin from the Buccaneers both signed with Oakland Raiders. And that's actually huge for the Raiders with Derek Carr. I mean, that's going to be a good offense. Preston Brown signed with the Bengals, and I think that's actually a really, really good signing. Sheldon Richardson signed with the Vikings. That's going to make their defense even more potent. Kyle Fuller signed a contract with the Packers, but it was an offer sheet. Michael Crabtree signed with the Ravens. Ryan Jensen, the offensive lineman, signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. LeGarrette Blount, he signed with the Lions. Recently released Tyrann Mathieu, like I said in the last episode, the most coveted safety, signed with the Texans. Justin Pugh, an offensive lineman who played for the Giants last year, signed with the Cardinals. And Orlando Scandrick, who played for the Cowboys and was released recently, was signed by a division rival, and ironically, it's the biggest rival for the Cowboys, the Redskins. Mike Pouncey, who was released by the Dolphins, signed with the Chargers. Eric Ebron, who's a tight end for the Lions, signed with the Colts. Morgan Burnett, who was a defensive back for the Packers, signed with the Steelers. And Sylvester Williams was signed by the Lions. So there's a lot of things going on in free agency. A lot of players are going to different teams. It seems like there's a flurry of players going to other teams. Jeremy Hill just recently signed with the New England Patriots. And, that might be a potentially good signing for both Hill and the Patriots, as the Patriots have a certain system with their offense, and it might be good for Hill, who's a power running back. I mean, the free agency has just been absolutely nuts. I don't remember it being as crazy as it has been in recent memory. But the best, these are all great signings by every single team. Ryan Jensen even was a great signing because that was an offensive line that needed some help. And then also with the Cardinals, Justin Pugh. But expect a lot more. The one that does surprise me is Ndamukong Suh being released. He's for 2 weeks now. He's been a free agent, and I'm really shocked that he hasn't signed with anybody because he's a really good player. Problem is, he may command a lot of money, and also he does have a little bit of on-field and off-the-field issues. But moving on, we're going to go now into the bigger story, which is the NCAA tourney. I don't remember any tournament having as many upsets. It's just absolutely incredible. Arizona, who I picked in my bracket to win it all, lost. They're done for. Xavier, who I had going into the Final Four, lost. Virginia, who I had losing in the Elite Eight, lost. But the more incredible part about this tournament, it was we got to see the most historic loss of all time. And that was Virginia. And being from the D.C. area, that one definitely kind of hurts it a little bit. But it was really interesting to see them lose to UMBC, another from the the DMV area, because you got to count Baltimore in there. But UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, they upset. They were the 16th seed, and they upset Virginia. That is the first time a 16th seed has beaten a 1 seed in the history of this tournament. It's never happened before. Never happened before, and we just witnessed history. Just simply incredible. But it just boggles my mind how many upsets there have been. UNC is out. UNC only made it to the second round. Hard to believe, but they're out. They are out. But with that being said, you look at Kentucky. Kentucky now has the easiest road to the Final Four. They're the highest seed in their region. So that's just hard to believe. They're a 5 seed, and they're the highest seed remaining. Simply unbelievable. Then the other one that's incredible is the school Loyola Chicago. They can't miss from beyond the arc. They've just been sensational, and they could be the next George Mason. Do I think they will be? No. George Mason, at that point when they went to the Final Four and they were an 11 seed, they were at one point in the top 25 that year. Loyola Chicago never even got consideration. Maybe they got some votes here and there, but I don't remember ever seeing them in the top 25. So that's just that. This might be even more of an incredible feat than what George Mason did. But George Mason, in my opinion, had a harder harder route because they had to face the likes of Michigan State, UNC, and arguably the best team that year in UConn. But this tournament has just been absolutely insane, and I don't know what to make of it. Next that we're going to move on to and talking about is the Chicago Blackhawks. For the first time since 2007-2008, they have been eliminated from postseason play. Just think about that. The first time in 10 seasons that they've been eliminated. The last time that happened, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews were all rookies. Corey Crawford was a 23-year-old backup goalie. Patrick Sharp was really young. He was like 27, I believe. That just shows how successful they were. They won 3 Stanley Cups, and you know, they also went to the Western Conference Finals 2 other times. They were a model of success, and especially during how they were under a cap space crunch. And it's just unbelievable that the run they had. And this year, I mean, what's hurt them is Corey Crawford's been hurt, and he's been arguably one of the best goalies in the league this year. He was up for possible Vezina trophy consideration. So that's going to be tough for the Blackhawks to, you know, win anything if their best and most important position, in my opinion, is hurt. And it's mind-boggling to think about how successful they were and then to see them do what they did. And even Patrick Sharp, they brought him back this year after he was gone for a bit. He's had a less than stellar year. They brought back Brandon Saad, but he's been having an off year. Just, it seemed like everything just was off for them. Couldn't get anything going. And see them, it'll be weird to not see them in the playoffs. It really will be. Because I've been so used to seeing them in the playoffs, being so successful and all. 3 Stanley Cups, they did a lot for that city, for the city of Chicago. I mean, they were the laughingstock of the... They were the laughingstock. They were the absolute laughingstock of the league. And now they became a model of success. And they're a dynasty. They're an absolute dynasty. And it's just going to... Unless the Pittsburgh Penguins win their 3rd straight Stanley Cup, what the Blackhawks did, no one right now will be able to do what they did. Next topic, and it'll be my final topic before we get to our stat of the day, it was Ireland. Why am I talking about Ireland? Well, it's a country. Yeah. Well, the reason why I'm talking about Ireland is because they play rugby. It's a sport. This is a sports podcast. I cover rugby in my website. You probably have seen some of it. And obviously what I've been writing about for the last month and a half is the Six Nations tournament. Coming into this tournament, I thought Ireland had a good chance of winning it, but ultimately I thought maybe that England was going to win it. So when they made that first victory against France, and France played really well, an interesting stat I'm actually going to say right here was that France only conceded 6 tries throughout the whole tournament. That's just incredible. Their defense was really good this year. And they were able to hold Ireland really well until they gave up a drop kick goal to Johnny Sexton. But what's remarkable, why I'm talking about Ireland, is because they won the Six Nations. And they did it in dominating fashion. They absolutely dominated the competition. It wasn't like they won three of them comfortably and there's two of them that were really, really close. No, no, no. They dominated. The only one that, the only team that, or country that even put up a fight was France. And that's just because their defense was really locked in. Their offense wasn't, but their defense was just phenomenal. But that's really the only blip, I guess you would say, for Ireland. But other than that, they just, they creamed the competition. They made everyone look like mincemeat. And they beat everybody. So they won their third ever Grand Slam. And Grand Slam, if you don't know, means that you win every single match that you play. And there's five matches that you play. And that's hard to do. This is their third one that they've had. They won it in 2009 and the other time before that, 1948. And that was back when it wasn't even the Six Nations. So this is even more remarkable. But right now there's been talk about Ireland could be the best team in the world right now. That they might even be better than New Zealand. And New Zealand is regarded as one of the best in the world and has been for at least the last 100 years. And when people are even talking about that, like some guy from England, I forget who it was, but he said that they can beat the All Blacks. I was shocked. If Ireland's really this good, then watch out in the 2019 World Cup. It's just going to be, it's going to be fun. Who knows? I mean, finally, for the first time since 2003, a Northern Hemisphere team will actually win the Rugby World Cup. This Ireland team is really talented. I thought they were really talented in 2015. This team is even more talented. There's one guy who I'm going to write about who had an absolutely sensational Six Nations. He just was really, really good in the Six Nations. He scored so many tries. He's really strong. I'm trying to find out what his name is. Ireland winning as comfortably as they did, it's just remarkable. Just remarkable. So they will be a force to be reckoned with. Absolutely. Jacob Stockdale. This guy is an absolute stud. He scored so many tries. He scored seven tries. Seven tries. And he scored two in three matches. Or actually, well, two in two each. That's what I mean. So he scored six. And the seventh one against England. So, look out for Jacob Stockdale. He's gonna be a stud. Now let's go look at the stat of the day, and this actually will be pertaining to what I said earlier about the NCAA tourney. There will be seven top four seeds in the Sweet 16. That ties the fewest since seeding began in 1970. Those 3 years were 2000, 1990. In 1986. That ties a record. So that just goes to show how incredible this tournament really has been. Well, that will do it here for the Unlucky Irishman on James Preacher Row. You have a good one, and I'll see you next week.